pray for the message. We should also pray for the messenger that's standing in front of you, that my voice holds up. It's still that creeping crud of the ear, you know, how that goes. So let's pray. Oh, we also ought to pray that you get something from it. That's the selfish prayer, right? Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would take the words I speak this morning, that you would empower them by your Spirit to be a word for each of us in some form or fashion. I pray that you fortify my voice for this, and I pray that it's worth hearing as well, and that it is accompanied by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 weeks ago, I gave a message really about our going to Bethlehem, and I sort of skipped a stone across the water then on this scripture that we have for today, which was then too. I'm going to let the stone sink into the water a bit today. And so we're going to look at the same particular scripture, and I'd like for us to read it together. Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. It's very familiar, or maybe it's chapter 2, excuse me. Verses 1 to 7. Here we go. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In verse 1 of this scripture, it says, it came to pass that all the world should be taxed. And in that scripture in Luke, we see that the exact time that the world was calculating new dimensions of exacting more of every one of its citizens, and when oppression was becoming more carefully and skillfully structured than it had ever been, that's the exact time when God says, that's it. Now I'm going to send my son. Now I want to expand on what I talked about 2 weeks ago in this scripture and put a little bit more meat on the bone, so to speak. When I was looking at this passage, it really began to reveal itself to me and how God watches and understands the things that tax you and me, the things that we go through in this life. And God says this world may put you in circumstances over which you have no power and might put you in difficult spots in life, but working in it all, I've got something that's going to bring you to an appointed place, your Bethlehem, the place where God breaks through into your world in a new way. And I think that most of us are spiritually perceptive enough to pick up on that thought and idea in Scripture. But let me just kind of run this, kind of work this over with you in your minds today. Verse 1 says that all the world should be taxed or enrolled or registered, a census, literally for the purpose of taxation. But it is the phrase in verse 6 that absolutely came alive to me when it says, and so it was while they were there. That's the place where they had to go because of a taxing situation. The days were completed for her to be delivered. The days were completed for her to be delivered. And somehow I see in that a lot more than this was the day for her to have a baby. I see something in the Lord saying, it may seem a long road dictated by circumstances and powers that you don't have any control over. But when I get you there, I want to tell you the time of your deliverance is appointed. That is the time of the breakthrough of God's high purpose for you. That the day should be completed and my presence in your life will come forth in a powerful way. There will be a breakthrough in this world. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4 that in the fullness of time God sent forth his Son. And wrapped up in that phrase is the wholeness of time, the completion of things, our all-encompassing observation that God puts all the pieces together to bring together in his time our Bethlehem, our place where Christ manifests himself. Now, traveling to Bethlehem and the circumstances that get us there are not all that thrilling at times. They are not very heartwarming. You travel with your, well, I'd think of Mary, with your stringy hair and your sore back and your perspiration, and it's inconvenient. It wasn't expected. Seems like everything is wrong. And when you get there, get to where you're going to be, it doesn't seem like they have a place for you either. And it comes the most natural expression of all the world, and you probably have said it to yourself, and this is it. If God is inside of me, why do things like this happen to me? If God is inside of me, why do things like this happen to me? Now, haven't you asked that question? I mean, if I'm a follower of Jesus and I'm trying to be his disciple in this world, and then things should kind of work a little bit better together at times. There comes that thought inside of, now I would have thought that if God can work a miracle inside of me the way he has, that he can work a miracle around me that will make all of this different. I wonder sometimes if I'm really in touch with God. I mean, I guess I am, because Jesus seems to be larger than life in me just as much as the baby Jesus was larger than life in Mary. And I know that in me there is enough of the life of Jesus in me, and you begin to think the same kinds of thoughts that must have gone through Mary's mind in her particular setting. Where Mary begins to think to herself in this, I know that it is real, but I guess I'm not really being led by the Spirit, because if I were spiritually sensitive, I would have stayed down there when I was near Bethlehem earlier in this pregnancy, when it was only a 6-mile trip. And you know, we are really good at observing times when something good happens and when everything's seems to be working together and everything kind of falls into place. And all of us have had that experience where we can reach out and we say, wow, that really fit together. That was the Lord. And we get all excited about those times and those happenings, and we testify to them and we thank the Lord for them, but we tend to forget those other times when things don't really synchronize so well, and they're messy, or they're painful, or they're stressful, and we begin to make all kinds of accusations about the situations and the people. First, we can look at ourselves and say, you know, I'm really out of it. I'm the one messing things up. Or second, we can blame the circumstances on other people around us, because they're the ones that are causing all the trouble. Or third, we can blame the devil, or we can also blame God. And I want for you this morning to look at with me at this scripture again that happened in the very real world, and I want to pick up on one word. Now, in the English language in our Bible, it's more than one word. It's it came to pass. It came to pass. Once again, this is only in the King James Version, but in the Greek, it is just one word. Let me tell you a little bit about the verb that is used there. It came to pass. It is a form of the word eganeto, and this word is used to describe creation, for things to come into being. And specifically, this text says it came into being. In other words, it had not been before. There had never been a taxing time like this before. It came into being that there was a worldwide tax like never before. But also as part of this coming into being of a taxing time, it says that the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Those two things. Those two things and those types of things just don't synchronize too well in our minds. We have a hard time putting hard times together with God working in our lives. We see the taxation process and the things that are around us and the circumstances where situations in our lives are just going bad or that we're really in difficult times. And I want you to know there is a world power that dictates to us, and it just doesn't come out of Washington or New York or Geneva or Brussels or Moscow or LA or any place like that. It comes really out of hell. And there is a world government system that is systematically seeking, and this is coming closer all the time with all this technology that we have, that is seeking to design a plan that will wring the most out of every single one of us in this world. To the world system, we are nothing but a number. I realize that people say, keep saying we're, you know, we're important and all that, but to the government, we are nothing but a number. And let me tell you something. Your name is registered in hell, and he's got your number. And it may not be where your citizenship is, but Satan knows about you, and he knows you are around. And the powers that sweep so furiously across the face of this planet are looking for a way to exact the most out of every one of us. There are three words that we use for taxation process that I want to look at and kind of put them under a magnifying glass, and they are the words tax, customs, and duty. These words interest me because the person who is subject to this taxation process comes under the burden of this subjugation. There's the verb to tax. And there are customs that have to be paid as we pass from one country to another. There is duty that needs to be observed when you buy things in other countries. And these words begin to speak to me because, you know, we have a dual usage that we make of all of these words. Tax. Customs, duty. Taxing is a proportion exactly of what you have, your property, what you make in this world. We have sales tax, and we have property tax, and we have income tax, just to mention a few of them. And then there are customs. Customs is wherever we export or import something, and we have to pay on it. It's the big word tariff these days. Custom. Duty is the amount that has to be paid on something that belongs to you or something that you're going to do something with as you bring it across the borders. And we use all those terms in the taxation process. And I began to think, God, my God, that's exactly the way our lives are. We use the word tax to express when we're stressed or strained or oppressed. This is just too taxing. It just taxes my energy. It taxes my patience, my strength. And do you know what causes us to be taxed physically, spiritually, emotionally, intellectually so many times? Why, it's the customs. Things that are our habit patterns, and they're part of our society and things that we do in our churches and our families and in our society, social conventions that are imposed upon us. And if you think about this time of the year, there are all kinds of customs that we have to do. Now, I know that some people like all this Christian hullabaloo that goes on, but for many, the customs of our society taxes our patience. Now, some people may like putting up and taking down decorations, but for some of us, the custom of Christmas decorations is very taxing. But it's just the way it's done. And we have to do it this way. The customs of the time of the year that we have. And you also can't export or import without being taxed in this country. Or in other words, or we can't go and come and do things the way we want to because we're being taxed by the situations and the circumstances that we really just call customs of the time. And it seems like there's something of social convention that's begins to press in on us. And then there is duty. Do I need to say more? Duty. It's your duty. How many times do we just have to do something out of duty? And it weighs on us. And it weighs us down. There is a lot about Christmas that is done out of duty. It's not a matter of talking about sin now. We're just talking about life here. Duty. There is no analogy that had to do with sin that Joseph and Mary dealt with when they went and they began to go southward down there 100 miles plus or so because the power of Rome said so. It was not a matter of sin. It was a matter of just life situation. Of the things that press you down halfway that you don't even really care to include in your agenda, and yet you have to do them. And all the way there, you can be thinking to yourself, there sure could have been a lot better time for this to happen, and I wish it had never had to be anyway. Why couldn't it have happened when it was a more convenient arrangement? And you know, when I was already down in the South, why does this kind of thing happen if God is inside of me? And I think that the Lord wants us to understand that while these things are coming into being, He has something else that is coming into being at the same time, and it's for the completion of days and the manifestation of Jesus in the purpose of God in you and me. God has His hand on our lives in ways that we don't understand or may not even know about. And the Lord, I hear saying to us this year, as we come to the end of this year, and we're in the midst of transition around here, as things are beginning to change, I think that God says, you just stay on the road to Bethlehem because you don't know what's going to be there when you get there. The best may be yet to come. It's very easy while you're on the road to Bethlehem to have your mind on Rome or have your mind on Nazareth, or say, well, I wish I was at home. Or to have your mind on God that you thought dwelled in you, but now you're asking questions because if He was really there, things would be different. Things should be different. And if the Almighty God is inside of me, well, then I should have authority over this kind of worldly thing, Roman thing, or that is happening to me. And the Lord says, you just keep moving to Bethlehem. Because when you get there, there's a place for you. And it won't be the kind of place that you necessarily thought of. And there's also protection for you because I'll be there to deliver you from your adversary who is the same governmental system that would take the child's life. The Lord was there. He says, I'll provide a place for you when you get there, even though it may not look like what you want. I will protect you so that the world system of things will not harm you. You will find out that whatever seems the world power can do to you, it can never do anything that is ultimate or eternal in nature. And the Lord says, when you get to Bethlehem, you're going to find out something else too. Because Bethlehem, you're going to hear about angels singing. There's going to be a star, and there will be shepherds and wise men, and there will be a manifestation of the glory of the Lord. But you know, living this life when your back hurts and your hair's all stringy and you're 8.5 months pregnant and you're sweating and you're halfway between Nazareth and Bethlehem and your mind really isn't concerned too much with shepherds and the star and the sight of angels. But the Lord says at that time, you keep moving. And I believe that for anyone, every one of us, there is a heavenly trip to our particular Bethlehem. And it's not like a 17-day vacation or tour. It will be a journey of your life. And it will cost you part of your life. And there will come all kinds of doubts and all kinds of taxing times and the customs that we deal with and the duties of life. And you will wonder if you're ever really on target at times. And I could not escape this haunting phrase that has come to me time and time again over the years. If God is inside of me, why does this kind of thing happen to me? And the message for today is to know that when you get there, if you're walking in God's way and Jesus is in you as Lord and Savior, then nothing can hinder the birth of that Lord for you. And nothing can stop the purpose of God in you, and nothing can hold you back. Now, I thought about this, and in the weariness of the heart of God towards us that is wrapped up in those two phrases, all the world should be taxed. You can put your own name in there. But the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And you can put your own name in there, too. And I'm seeing the Lord saying that just about the time it only looks to you like the world or the world system of things has exacted the last that you can bear, I want to tell you, I'm going to bring you to Bethlehem, a place of revelation, a place of breakthrough, and I'm going to get you there, to Bethlehem. I know this. I've been around people a long time, and I've lived a long time, and I've taken tours in your lives, and there are times when all of us feel like a deer being chased by a pack of dogs and being drugged down by that pack of dogs and killed. And this world can do it to you, and I'm no different than anybody else that is hearing this message at this point. There have been times in the last couple of years when this picture has been taxed. And I felt very much like Mary, 8.5 months pregnant, stringy hair, sweaty back, sweaty, sitting on the back of a donkey between Nazareth and Bethlehem. And from a personal standpoint, just telling you this and telling you what I see in this scripture, it's a powerful statement about how God works, about his love, the taxing things of this life, his timing in things, his deliverance. And I don't know about you or what you've received from this message, but I feel that it is very timely and profound spiritually for me. Just putting it down on paper speaks to me. Now, when we get to Bethlehem, I'm going to see the glory of the Lord, and the Lord may have a tough way right now, but the Lord did write about it in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, and I'd like for us to read it together. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me the one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from the old, from ancient days. How many of us here are thinking to ourselves, you know, that's great, Jack. If you know you're going to Bethlehem, I guess you can think, well, that's super, but Bethlehem's someplace. Where I'm going, it just doesn't seem to be like it's anything at all. A little no place. But I want to remind you that Bethlehem was a little no place until Jesus was born there. And friends, where it seems like you're going may seem like a nowhere place until you get there and you see the revelation of God as he is revealed. And that will become a history point in your life as well. Today, people flock to Bethlehem by the multitudes all the time. From all over the world, they come to see it. I was even there once when I was probably 7 or 8 years old. There are always crowds. There are always throngs in Bethlehem. The only reason there were any crowds coming there on the day that is written about in the scriptures was because of the world system of things. And the reason the crowds go there today is because of God's deliverance and God's system of things. So where are you right now in that journey of life? Is there something taxing or pressing on you seriously? Lord says, when you get there, watch what I do. And that will be a point where people can say, tell me again about how God showed his glory at that place and time in you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for each heart that everyone would see the beauty of your timing of things as it is revealed in the Word. And though we may feel very out of sync with you or out of step or out of time, only conscious of the dust of the road and the pain in our back, I pray that you would cause our hearts to know that the trip to Bethlehem is worth it. Not for pilgrimage purposes, but for the power to meet your Son Jesus and to see our deliverance as well. In Jesus' name, amen.